Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to Night Visions with WPRF.
I'm Wendy.
And I'm Eric, and we're here with Visionique. We may lose Wendy tonight because she's awfully tired, but she's trying to hang in there because she knows this show must go on. But anyway, before we get into the dirt of the night.
The dirt.
You know, that's... People will know what I'm talking about. Somebody explain to Wendy what dirt is, and it's not the mud you dig up out of the yard. But anyway, I have to tell everybody about my day.
Oh.
Because it didn't start out the best. Okay, I may own two or three pairs of jeans at the most because I refuse to go buy them, I guess. Either, well, if you ask my family, it's because I'm lazy, but the real reason is I just don't buy clothes for myself.
No, because I'm the clothes buyer in the house, and I got so many that all my clothes are over running outside the door into your room, and you have no room for your clothes. Is that what it is?
Maybe. Yeah, that's probably it. Well, anyway, I was at work, and I'm working behind my machine, and we have a cabinet back there. I don't know how I did it, but my back pocket got caught on the little handle of the cabinet, and I thought it was someone joking with me, so I pulled away. Well, the next thing I heard was like a rip, and... Well, let's just say people who were looking got a nice view. Well, the guy I'm always talking about, Tony, my coworker, my pal, well, he decides he is just going to bust out laughing. And I thought he was going to need some type of oxygen treatment or something because he was like just gasping for breath. Well, anyway, I had to end up taking a strong, like, packing tape and tape the inside of my pants. Well, the only tape color that we had was a bright yellow.
Oh.
So everybody was joking me, saying, Eric, are you wearing yellow underwear? Now I know I talk about Wendy's Jeep Renegade, which is yellow all the time, but no, I didn't do it just because of that. That was the only color in... My work has a policy that if your clothes have holes in it, they can send you home non-paid. Well, I work in Virginia. I live in North Carolina. Well, I couldn't get home, and if I went home, I'd be not be able to get back to work, so I would have gone most of the day non-paid. So I chose just to have yellow tape on me. But I survived, and now I have one pair of jeans. That's it.
If anybody feels sorry for Eric, can we please take him for fun? Eric needs a jeans fund.
Yeah.
Put you on GoFundMe or something. I don't know.
I don't know what it was. It was crazy because I'm serious. Have you ever heard somebody that's laughing so hard? Do you think they're like, they have, what is it, asthma? Well, let me tell you, Tony was laughing at me so hard, and I felt bad because he was wanting to even take a picture and make a video and put it on Facebook, and I didn't see the humor in it, but now it would have been funny. So
Tony, help me make a GoFundMe page for Eric so we can buy this poor man some new clothes.
Or what we'll do, he's an artist. He can do some pictures and the money we make from the pictures.
Oh, true.
Because let me tell you, you guys need to check his work out. He does some amazing artwork. And I know it has nothing to do with the show, but he did tell us he was going to do a
job. Do our logo for us.
Yeah.
He never did, Tony.
So if you guys want us to have a new logo, post it on the page and just let Tony know he needs to get working on it. Okay. Enough picking on Tony.
Enough picking on Tony. Not picking on you.
Yes. And now we got to tell our news. We got some good news. There's a silence because Wendy doesn't realize all the good news. First of all, as you know, our last show on Wednesday, we talked about a place that very, 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 very soon we get to go to.
Oh, you mean the one on Saturday night?
Yes.
Oh, yes, our contest. It's working out really well. Really, really, really well. And do we tell them what's in lead?
Yeah,
we have three that are top. We won't tell them what place is what. But the top three are Bacon's Castle in Surrey, Virginia, Public Hospital, Williamsburg, Virginia, and Rosewell Ruins, in Gloucester, Virginia.
So
we're going to be discussing a couple of the, little bit more information about those. Don't forget, it also includes Fort McGregor Hotel and Colonial Parkway, which also includes Crawford Road. So,
and like I said, any of those places would be awesome to go to. But also, as everybody knows, and we will be going live from there, we will be going to Henricus in a week, yes.
Well, a week from Sunday.
So a week from me?
I mean, a week from Saturday, excuse me.
Yeah. That's it. A week from Saturday. And really looking forward to this because, as you guys know, that show went over extremely well. Dennis and Sean both just enlightened everybody and us about the awesome stuff. And Wendy's going to tell a little more about Henricus so you guys can put your ears up. And
I think they described Henricus pretty well Wednesday night.
Well, true.
So what I want to do is I want to describe, give you information about what we're going to be doing Saturday. They're going to be having what they call, let me get this right, because I'm not Indian and I can't pronounce these words. So. But it's the 400th anniversary of the death of Powhatan.
Yes.
It says, learn about the life and legacy of,
Where are you listening?
We need Dennis and Sean on to pronounce these words for us.
Yeah, that name, I don't want to butcher it because I don't want to be disrespectful.
Commonly known as Chief Powhatan. Interpreters will talk about Powhatan's leadership and impact on Anglo-Powhatan relations, and a lecture will be presented by Dr. Buck Woodard at 2 p.m. inside the church. On the side note, that's one of the most haunted places in Henricus Historical Park. It is Saturday, like we said, from 10 to 5, $9 for adults, and children 6 to 12 are free. But it says Henricus patrons are free.
Oh, I wonder what
we need to become a Henricus patron.
I guess that means you give. I guess you give like a money.
Give
kind
money
of,
to the
Henricus fairy plantation stuff.
Yeah.
And I know when we had our show about this, I know Sean did tell us the name of that chief because I remember it's a very unique name.
He could tell us right off, but I can't. I'm not going to do it. I would butcher it to death.
Yeah, but we're really looking forward to going there because we've heard so many. I mean, as you guys heard, Dennis and them had story after story after story. So stay tuned for that.
And while we're on the subject of Henricus, April 27th and 28th is going to be a kick-ass time. We're going to be there Saturday night, 28th. But Stephanie Bart from Kindred Spirits and Scott Porter from where?
TWC.
TWC, Haunted Towns, Ghost Asylum, my boys, who WPRS is named after, is going to be there. We're going to be there. Dennis is going to be there. How's it going to be there? Twist is going to be there. Twist is who's Twisted Productions, she's putting it on.
But we heard that it's going to be to like 2 something in the morning, and then they said you can go to bed or they're going to have some other things. Like you're really going to want to go to bed.
I'm not going to bed.
I'm not either.
And Henricus on there. I'm not going to bed there.
I wouldn't attempt to go to bed there. There's no telling what will happen.
Dennis and Sean talk about little creatures coming to you. No, I'm not going to go to bed.
Well, you know what? That's how Tony can make it up to me.
Don't hurt you.
Yes, and he has to sleep somewhere. He can choose somewhere. So.
Okay. I'm all for it. But anyway, it's Friday night and Saturday night. 6 to 8 is the pre-investigation meet and greet. And 8 to 2 is an investigation. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and I did hear that Stephanie was going to do some readings. I don't know if all her slots got filled, but I saw that posted. I guess we can get the information about that and let everybody know.
You know the best part about it? They're serving pizza.
Pizza?
Yes. Pizza is included as part of the ticket.
But we're not supposed to eat pizza. How did Porter can't eat pizza?
Neither can Stephanie. Ooh.
This is not good because they're doing the keto thing.
Oh, well. They're eating pizza.
I guess you could just scrape the toppings, depending on what the toppings are, and just not eat the crust.
Let's talk to them about that. Maybe we can get them on our show talking about keto.
That would be cool. But I am so looking forward to that, and hopefully I won't have to work that Saturday. I might have to talk to my supervisor.
Arvin.
Yeah, because I can't miss
it. We've already paid money for this thing. And tickets are $75, so, which is freaking well worth it.
Well, I can say this. I know Tony's listening, so I need your help, Tony. You need to help me convince our great and mighty supervisor that Saturday I cannot work. You have to cover me on this one. You may have to do all the work, but that's all right. I'll make it up to you. If you do this for me, I won't ask you to spend the night somewhere spooky and scary. Thank you.
He's going to Henricus with us.
He wants to go.
Oh.
He wants to go to 360, too.
We're taking him to 360. Ron, can we take him to 360? Can he come up?
So we're definitely going to get that hooked up because I do. I want him to go there so bad and just see what kind of action he can stir up.
Mm.
I'd love Tara to go, too, but I know she's not.
And anybody else that wants to go to 360, get in touch with me, and I will put you in touch with the right person. It is a wonderful spot. I know we've talked about it every single show for a year now, but it is.
It's because I'd like to get a group of I don't want too big of a group, maybe no more than 10.
Probably not even that. It's kind of, Yeah, 10 would be.
10, because what I figured is we'd have maybe a group could go with Dennis and then a group with us. So we'll have to see on that one. I'm trying to think if there's any more news. Oh, yeah, I must tell this too because we let everybody know this Friday.
I guess where we're going. Raise your hand. Where are we going?
We are going to
Busch Gardens.
And they're talking about rain, but that's all right. We've been there during a hurricane. We've been there during
two hurricanes.
So a little rain isn't going to keep us away. And my ultimate thing, if we can get it, I'd like for us to go live there. Because we want to.
We can do some live there. So be tuning in to Night Visions and WPRS Facebook pages and my Facebook page.
And I wanted to take Visionique, but the problem is I don't want anything to happen to her, and that's kind of where we got her, and I don't know how they would feel.
But what are we doing afterwards? Going down Colonial Parkway.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about yes. So I am looking forward to that.
And Crawford Road, because Eric has never been. And if it should win the contest, we want to make sure everything is okay with it. It's all safe for everybody to be there.
Yeah, I know. I'll be the guinea pig. I'll be the guinea pig at any of these places. Send me. And as you guys know, when we go to Henricus, Dennis has already mentioned there's a room where there's a man that likes to grab women and fondle them. And
yeah, guess who they're sending up in the room alone.
So they want to send Wendy, so get ready to hear her story. But as you know, for some reason, wherever Wendy goes, things kind of just basically cower in the corner. Although hopefully she'll have her tale of being groped or touched or...
Yeah, fondled or touched my baby.
Because that's one thing about Wendy. She's on the other side of the spectrum where, you know, most people are like, no, I don't want this. And Wendy's like, scratch me, punch me, whatever. Just let me know. So
throw me up against the wall, baby.
Wait a minute, that's a different show.
Oh,
now.
Different show. Oh, that's right. Okay, sorry.
Okay. Now, let's see. Do we have any other announcements?
I don't think so. I think necessarily. I mean, we're in the process of deciding whether we want to go to Jersey or whether we want to go to, I found out today, we want to go to Gettysburg with Twisted.
Yes.
For the Gettysburg Historical Bash, Battlefield Bash.
Yeah, because we're having a tough decision because everybody knows I am, like, crazy about Katrina. I want to meet her, and I do have the opportunity, but there's some other things that I'm...
And I am crazy about Dustin Perry.
And the thing that I tried to say is, which one would be easier to be able to see? And I'm really thinking, so we'll keep everybody posted on that. And
if anybody has any feedback, I think we're definitely going to go to Gettysburg, though.
I definitely want to go there because there's something about that place.
I've been. Again, you haven't.
See, now you hear this, everybody. Wendy goes to all these amazing places, and poor Eric's left out in the cold. Well, not anymore, because, dadgummit, I am grabbing Visionique, and we're going. Because that way, she can go to these places the same time I go.
Oh, yeah. So you want to... I know one of the places that's winning is really true, is really kick-ass cool. You want to talk about it a little bit?
Yeah, I can. Because this place, for some reason, is the one that's intriguing me the most. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because the name of it is like one of my favorite things I like to eat. And it's the Bacon's Castle. And this is the nation's oldest brick house that's filled with ghosts.
Ooh.
Now, if you'll excuse me, some of the stuff I told you guys about one of the earlier shows, but I just wanted to share some of this stuff again and give a little more detail because being that it's in the top three, I do want people to know more about it. And like I said, I'm not trying to down the other ones that are kind of not getting a big response because I'm telling you, any of them, I guarantee you people would have a blast. And I know Wendy mentioned this, but it was about what draws paranormal researchers to Bacon's Castle, and it's the spectral fireballs, the floating heads, the disembodied voices, all which have been seen and heard at this estate. And it says, many have collected proof that the castle's ghosts are very real. The team behind Spirited History, for instance, has visited Bacon's Castle several times. Something supernatural would occur during each investigation. Their library of evidence includes EVPs, personal experiences, flashlight communication, and K2 responses captured on video, plus ghostly photographs. So why have so many people experienced such strange things at this at the mansion? Well, there's enough from the mansion's spooky past to fill a book. Tales of ominous comets, foretelling of horrible things to come, secret romances and affairs, all ending in heartbreak, slave abuse, Indian raids, and it says Bacon's Castle has had 360 years to foster ghosts. And it tells a little bit about the history, but I did tell a lot of that. I wanted to share that what's kind of cool, they have some plants there, and they're 17th century plant specimens, such as snapdragons, larkspur, and elecampane are grown in the garden. And there's it's a nonprofit organization that did all the planning to make sure, you know, that it was true to how it was back in the day. And then there was another thing that I wanted to share with everybody, because I'm telling you, it just, I don't know, something about this place. But they said the reason a lot of this happened, you know, this stuff happened, it says many believe that a comet that streaked through the sky in the fall of 1675 may have foreshadowed this horrible event. During the colonial times, the superstitious saw such cosmic fireballs as bad omens. A comet sighting in 1644, for instance, was immediately followed by a bloody Indian raid. Another preceded the tragic death of a young woman. The girl had been banned from a lover she had been secretly seeing behind her father's back. One night, she decided to sneak out and visit him anyway, but the flame from her candle caught her dress and lit her on fire. So she's just a girl, and she's on fire.
Ooh.
Sorry.
Not funny.
Perhaps the love letter etched into one of the castle's windows was left by her before she died. Ooh, I want to check that out. It says the comet that foreshadowed Bacon's rebellion was probably not unlike the great comet of 1680 over Rotterdam. It says fireballs were also believed to punish naughty children. You hear that, kids? It says one local legend tells of a fiery spear killing a little boy, for instance, because he refused to finish his chores. Oh, Alexis, I know you're not listening, but you better do your chores. It says fireballs continue to make appearances at Bacon's Castle. People have lived at the house report of seeing them blaze down the stairs. What? In the cemetery that lies close to the castle, fireballs are also known to rise from the graves.
Ooh, snap.
It says Bacon's Castle has experienced plenty of other paranormal events. Interpreter Francis Richardson has spent nearly a quarter of a century of his life trying to understand them. When she first started, the house stairwell had many blood-stained steps alluding to its gory past.
Ugh.
Get this. One of the creepiest things seen at Bacon's Castle is the disembodied head of an African-American woman. During the colonial times, the property lodged as many as 300 slaves. It had a total of 18 slave quarters, but only one is still standing. The conditions within early slave dwellings were horrible. While wealthy colonists lived in lavish brick buildings, the servants were cramped into rough wooden structures, which were scantily furnished, if at all. And it says, "Us never had a chair in the house," recalls a former slave. As for beds, they had to make do with piles of hay and old rags. Oh my goodness, listen to this. Sometimes as many as 10 slaves were squeezed under one roof. illnesses thus spread very easily. Having only known pain and misery in life, slaves are not restful in death. There's a lady that leads tours at Bacon's Castle, tells of a young black girl who tragically died in the house's cellar and likes to tug on visitors' clothing. The basement is famous for being one of the castle's most active areas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say, I'm sharing this stuff. A lot of times I don't like to share because when you go to a place, you know, I don't want it to be put into your mind, oh, yeah, I'm in the... So, please, you know, don't let this influence you. I just really want to tell more about this because being, like I said, that it made the top three. And it says, things also known to move on their own at Bacon's Castle, chairs rock, books fly off the shelves, doors close all by themselves. One woman discovered her room in disarray, a round burner lamp, normally sitting on the table, leaned against a pedestal, and its globe was smashed to pieces. And it's not just objects the castle ghosts like to shift around. They're known to push and touch visitors as well. There you go. Sounds like a good place for Wendy to go. Many spirits are also very noisy.
Nosy.
Wow.
They're probably that too.
Yeah, I would be kind of nosy, all wandering in my house. It says, people have heard loud pops, much like the sound of gunfire, shattering the house's silence, as well as footsteps clamping down the stairs. Disembodied moans and walls add to the ruckus. Some have even heard voices telling them to get out.
Mm.
And it says, in 2014, Preservation Virginia launched Haunted Bacon's Castle, a public tour that caters exclusively to horror enthusiasts. Event attendees are guided through the estate by the Center for Paranormal Research and Investigation, a team of ghost hunters who've done extensive research at Bacon's Castle. During their investigation, they recorded disembodied voices and screams. So successful was their visit that they summarized their work in a thorough project report. I like to see that.
So, I am friends with them on Facebook, so I'm being in touch with them. See if we can get them on the show.
Yeah, please do. I would say if anybody wants to know a little more of the history about Bacon's Castle, to definitely check it online because you can enter it in a Google search and it will tell you. And now, I want Wendy to tell us more about the public hospital, because that was another one. And that place is near and dear to me because, like I said, a coworker of mine, when he was younger, he actually was put in there. So I'd like to get him on the show.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I might talk to him because I still know can get in contact and ask him if he would share.
Well, information I have says that the public hospital for persons of insane and disordered minds was the first of its kind in America, which that's the long term for public hospital. It's also called Eastern State Hospital. Patients here were treated like prisoners and sometimes worse. Inmates were forced to take lots of drugs and were sometimes submerged in freezing water to cleanse their system. Other times, electricity was used to jolt their systems. Imagine adding the two together.
Yeah, no.
No. In 1841, a man by the name of Dr. John Galt took over as superintendent and treated the patients with much more compassion. When the Battle of Williamsburg broke out in 1862, Galt was forced out of the hospital when the Union soldiers took over. Devastated, he overdosed on pain medication. Shortly after, the Lee family moved into the space. Mrs. Lee's account of her experience there is terrifying. She says, I could do nothing to get the blood stain out of the floorboards. No amount of scrubbing would remove it. We finally had to pull up the solar portion and replace it with fresh wood. I was shocked to find the very next morning the stain somehow made its way into the new flooring.
What?
My children are frightened. They wake me up every night claiming the man is in the upstairs room where Dr. Galt died. And that's just a little bit of...
And did you guys know that was the first mental hospital in North America?
I did know that. I had read that.
It's... And they said it was in service until the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Do you have a little more information on it?
Yeah, I actually do. It says, you know, that the... Its early history is tainted with the maltreatment of its patients. And it says they weren't treated any better than prison inmates. In some cases, it was even worse. They had a lot of confinement and isolation. They were like in tiny cells with one little tiny window for light.
Why does that remind me of Eastern State Penitentiary?
I know, that's what I'm thinking. It's crazy. And they said the patients were shackled to the walls and slept on the floor on dirty straw-filled mattresses. On top of these hard living conditions, inmates were forced to take large amounts of drugs.
Were they inmates or were they...
See, that's what I'm... Because, see, I think before it was a hospital, it was
a prison.
I have to definitely check that. That's what I'm saying. There's just so much information about these places. I mean, because I know that is another place that I know that I really, really wanted to go to. And that's what we tried to do. I mean, I wanted to get places we wanted to go, but I also want to get a place where the person that wins and gets to go would have, you know, a good time. And I'm trying to find, because I had found something that was very, very, very interesting about this place, and I wanted to share it with you. But
if you can't find it, we can put it on the Facebook page.
Yeah, and I guess did we mention it was built in 1773? And, you know, this one, as I said, that it was the first public facility in present-day United States constructed solely for the care and treatment of mentally ill. So why are they talking about inmates? That's what I want to know, because I'm reading this and they're talking about inmates, but why would they have inmates at a hospital? Because I wouldn't think they'd... Oh, wow. This is crazy. I found a thing that talks about people that had worked there. And this one says she didn't mind working her shift, but when she had to work the next nurse shift because they... repeatedly call out, it's not fair. They don't even day. Do you want off the next day? Or you want to come in late? You work 16 hours and have to come right back and be on time for your shift. So it sounds like working there was even rough. Wow. This one said, taking patients' activities, encouraged to take their meds, mandatory overtime, serving meals. Wow. So I'd like to do a little more research into that, too, because I'm telling you, if that one doesn't win, I definitely want to go there.
that's going to end up being one of those that's not going to win, and we're going to go, and we're going to have to do some FaceTime there. And
we'll,
but it still has a chance. We've got till Saturday night.
Yeah, so if you guys haven't put your thing on the website or that, get it done, because Saturday's fast approaching. Ooh. It says the hospital had been chartered 3 years prior using land bequeathed by the House of Burgesses, Virginia's Legislative Assembly. By its own admission, the hospital was established for the support and maintenance of, now see, I don't like this word, so forgive me, but this is the word they're using, of idiots, lunatics, and other persons of unsound minds who threaten society. Realistically, there was little support for these unfortunates. Before the establishment of the hospital, insane individuals were actually judged by a jury, not a doctor.
What?
And classified as criminal.
That's why they were.
Okay. They were regarded as collateral damage in the quest for colonial normalcy. Man.
I will tell you that, and I've read it before, Williamsburg is one of the most haunted, I would say, on the East Coast.
Ooh. I'm going to share this stuff.
Okay, please.
Oh, my gosh. Listen to this. It says, mental disorders were poorly understood in the 18th century. Most ailments were considered to be either conscious decisions on the sufferer's part or a moral failure. In other words, these people were not believed to be insane as much as irresponsible. Though only two diagnoses were legitimately recognized, mania and melancholia. The treatments were varied. By modern standards, these treatments were extremely gruesome and cruel. To begin, inmates, and that's what they referred to them as, inmates, had their bodies evacuated through a strong mixture of drugs meant to cause vomiting and or diarrhea. Restraint was also used extensively, mostly with manacles and straitjackets. Patients were then given plunge baths. A sudden repeated exposure to cold water meant to result in shock, also called the bath of surprise. It was believed that such fear would essentially snap the person out of their lunacy. Additionally, shocks were administered through an electricity machine and scarification. A small devices with between 4 and 16 sharp steel blades were used to bleed patients. Yes, intimidation played a large role in treatment. Through repetitive bouts of terror, physicians honestly felt they could scare their patients straight. And it said, the patient's only reprieve was being allowed to fraternize in the mad yard, which was constructed in 1790, but 9 years later, two cells were dug under the hospital's first floor to imprison patients who were in a state of raving frenzy. The true purpose of the asylum, far from providing patients with any quality of life, was to segregate the mentally unfit population from the rest of humanity. Excuse me, wow. And it said, on June 7, 1885, electrical fire burned the asylum to the ground. It was replaced today, which is known as Eastern State. So actually, in that same place, an asylum was. So that explains. So it was an asylum before, and then when we rebuilt, they made it the Eastern State. And this says, the ghosts of the original asylum, however, remain, specifically that of Dr. John Gout, which Wendy told you about. He had taken over as the facility superintendent. He was distraught over how the patients were treated and pushed for reform. And they said when the Civil War devastated the area, the Union Army took control of the hospital and neglected most of the patients. Dr. Gout became so devastated that he slipped into severe depression and overdosed on a drug. The high dosage made the blood vessels in his head rupture, and he was found dead in a pool of blood.
Oh, geez.
And it says his spirit is said to roam the hospital grounds at night, presumably in search of his mishandled patients. They say he can hear muffled voices knocking on the walls, usually on the evenings and on the weekends. And they said one maintenance worker claimed to see the shadow of a wheelchair. And there, wow, they have a museum. It's a small museum that contains six patient cells modeled after the first iterations. And there's actually Eastern State relocated to a new spot just outside of Williamsburg. And it's an active psychiatric hospital. That must be the one he went to, with 300 beds and a staff of 900.
Yeah.
Yeah, that must be the one. He didn't.
He didn't go to the old one.
Yeah, he didn't go to the old one. So, yeah, as you can see, that's why I guess that's one of the top three. Although my thing, too, you know, I don't want to discount Rosewell because from what I heard, that's pretty.
You got anything in that little magic box of yours right there that says Rosewell?
I do. In fact, I do. So I need to find this stuff for you guys because, like I said, I know I should be a little bit more organized, and I promise you, the person that wins, we will make sure, you know.
If they have any questions, most of these people, I'm telling you, who's already put their names in, know these places, know that they want to go to these places, and know why they want to go to these places. So we are really excited about this, we really are.
Yeah, because this one, the ruins, this is the one that's in Gloucester.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, this is that one that only the two chimneys are still standing, and I think the towers.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, so they said here that Williamsburg certainly is not the only haunted city in Virginia. On the other side of the York River lies Gloucester, and it has its own creepy places as well. And let's see.
It's such a beautiful place. It really is.
Wow. The Rosewell Plantation has been involved in slavery since 1670. That's just something. It says at the center of the 3,000-acre plantation once stood a beautiful three-story mansion. It was built between the years of 1725 and 1738. And by a historian, Rosewell was the largest and most advanced brick building in Virginia at the time. It was unique in being of London townhouse design.
Ooh.
Included carved stone keystones, intricate door cases, and two octagonal cupolas. The red bricks of the house were laid in Flemish bond. And it says that the plantation was the home of the Page family for over 100 years. And they were one of the earliest families of Virginia. And it said that John Page, he was probably the most famous of the Page clan. He has ties to several important historical figures, included Thomas Jefferson. They were actually classmates at the College of William and Mary. Isn't that crazy?
Thomas Jefferson?
Yes. Could you imagine going to school with these people? I'm gonna kind of leave a lot of the stuff about, because I guess what I really want to do, I want people without, you know, going online and looking it up and repeating some of this stuff. If anybody feels they'd like to, go to the webpage and just write down feelings they've gotten over what they've heard about any of the places.
Because some of the people have already been and they want to go back.
Right, that's true.
Well, if y'all have, let us know. We want to know that too.
But I would like anybody, you know, if there's a place that we've talked about, or even if we haven't talked about it, you know, we
could be a future place. We're going to be holding these contests quite a bit. So I want to get people more involved.
Yeah.
Take people with us.
And, you know, the reason we're doing this is for everybody that listens in and supports us, because that's one thing that I've always felt that it's important. You know, I feel like not enough knowledge and enough sharing of paranormal has gone out, because most people think, you know, it's a sign of being possessed or of the devil, or, and I assure you, it's nothing like that. Because if you watch, you know, TWC, before any investigation, you can see them on
fist
TV.
Fist bump to the big man.
And they always pray.
Yes.
And I know in paranormal lockdown, they do as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for everybody out there, you know, that's still a little skeptical on this or all that, we want to show you that, you know.
But look how much history. These places have, I mean, every single one of these places have history that for some reason or other has caused whatever ghostly, quote unquote, thing to happen. Now it's because something has happened in its history.
That's true, because it, you know, it kind of bothers me in school. They tell a lot of the history, but they don't tell this history. You know, I mean, this is our area. I feel like the history of the area you live in is just as important. I mean, I'm not discounting the other, but, you know, people understood the history of this area, and you look at it totally different. And that's what I want to do, because when I was younger, I always had a passion for this. I can remember. I loved going, I mean, even when I was young, I loved going to cemeteries for something.
Mm-hmm. So to the history of it, there's history. I mean, somebody had to die in history for people, for there to be a cemetery.
That's true. And I know a lot of people would think I'm weird, but I used to actually go and choose a name, and I'd look it up and try to get information about that person. Whatever one I was led to, that's where I went.
That's kind of what we're doing back here in the field that's behind our house. There's three graves. I think their pictures are on WPRS website, on Facebook. And that's what we're doing. We're trying to get the history of them.
And I will tell you, there was a neighbor that, thank God's not here anymore, that actually was so disrespectful and took one of the gravestones to try to get their car unstuck. And what happened to them?
Because the gravestones are tore up. They've been there for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, and they're tore up.
And I'll literally, because I know Dennis and them have one that they go to, and they'll actually clean up around the graves and put flags for all the veterans on Veterans Day. And actually, this one behind the house, we've actually gone down there and tried to clean it up too, because it's
just
like
in the middle of a field.
Yeah. Because, I mean, these were people. And I feel like we owe them that much respect.
So I think we're just waiting for Saturday for the results now.
Yeah, so make sure you tune in Saturday at 10 o'clock, and we will announce the winning place and
the winning person.
So
I'm excited.
Too. I'm ready to go. And the winner, we will contact them and work out the arrangements and all that.
And somebody asked when we were going to go. We were all going to work on that, but it won't be any time when it's cold. Thank God it's going to be 80 tomorrow.
Yeah, I know. 80 degrees and we have to work. Yay! But then we'll get a little bit of break. I'm ready for Saturday because I am anxious to see the place that wins, because now I'd go to any of these places. I would.
Well, we are going Friday night to one of them. We're jumping the gun a little bit. That's okay.
Well, my thing is, if we go like Friday and shared, it might bring it more into the running.
Yes.
Maybe it will spark someone's excitement, because like I said, I mean, that picture that Wendy sent to me when she was on Crawford, it was like, I'm going to show it to you tomorrow, Tony. You got to check this thing out.
Oh, yeah. Tony's still there.
Yeah, because I definitely want him to give his opinion on it.
But keep listening to us, guys. We love you all. I know I haven't shouted out to too many people much tonight.
Oh, and before I forget, wanted to send a special healing wish or wish to Ange.
Yes, girl, we miss you.
Yeah,
we love to see you soon.
Having to stay in the hospital until
RJ is born. Anyway, we love you all. Get in touch with us. Keep coming to the Facebook page. So
yeah, we'll be updated and keep checking Visionique's page out.
Yes, from request her. She's hopping. She's still sitting here.
And she's going to be busy. But anyway, we hope this was informative to you guys. We thank you for taking the time to listen to us. And we'll see everybody Saturday. Or you can listen on Saturday, sorry. Wish we could see everybody. But thanks again.
You'll see us Friday night live, Busch Gardens.
Yes. And maybe at some point see us on Colonial Parkway or Crawford Road. But I promise you we won't get in trouble.
All right. Well, till then.
Bye, guys. Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.